Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
You know, I'm so excited about what God is doing these days here at Calvary. It's just incredible to experience and be a part of. People young and old are growing in their passion for Christ every week as we gather here on site and online, and then gather throughout the week in our smaller groups as people come together to build relationship, grow in their faith, and to just walk in the ordered steps that God has given us. Last week, I had the opportunity to minister in our Mandarin campus, and it was just so wonderful. And I'm hearing all these stories of how the Holy Spirit is moving among all our campuses. And it's really testimonies to the fact that he is a miracle-working God, that people's lives are being changed, and only he can do that. Only he can bring that kind of transformation. So today, we start an all-new four-week series leading up to Easter Sunday called Miraculous, looking at Jesus and the miracles that he brought about in the time that he walked the earth. And this series will kind of explore how the signs and wonders that Jesus performed all point to his divinity. His miracles throughout Scripture testify to Christ's limitless love and compassion for people, his longing to see them set free, and that he's an all-powerful and yet very personal Savior. And Jesus' absolute authority over Satan, over sickness, over death, and over nature, all of these things confirm that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. And his miracles show us that the wholeness that he talks about can be ours today. But it also foreshadows the ultimate and eternal healing work that's available to all of us through his death, through his blood, and through his resurrection. Now, the underlying theme of this series throughout the month is that through him, all things are possible, that God is still a God of miracles. Psalm 77, verse 13 through 14 says, "What God is there as great as our God?" Well, I think we all know the answer to that. There is no one as great as our God. Psalmist goes on to say, "You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples." We believe that. We still believe that today, that he is a God of miracles. You know, Timothy Keller once said, "Jesus' miracles are not just a challenge to our minds, but a promise to our heart that the world we all want is coming." You know, we have good friends in Miami who started a great church there a number of years ago. And I recall them telling us a story, Susan and I, about a new member of their church who the Lord used them to help lead him to the Lord. Now, this was an ex-drug lord, now turned committed Christ follower. And so he still had a lot of his old friends, and so they invited him to a party. Now, this was a very high-end party in Miami with all kinds of questionable people on the guest list. And so he thought, this is a great opportunity for me to go and to really show them what's happened in my life. Because he understood that this group of people, beyond money, beyond anything else that they had, through their criminal endeavors, the one thing that they truly respected was power. So he decided on this beautiful night in Miami with this massive pool, with everybody gathered around it, drinking and partying, that he was going to walk on the water, that he was going to walk right across that pool and demonstrate to all of the people that were there the miracle power of God that had transformed his life. So he looked at our friends, and he said, "And so I did it. I got up to the side of the pool. I took one step out onto the water, and then it was like yeah, okay, what happened next? And he goes, and then I sank to the bottom of the pool. But you know what? He had a smile on his face. He wasn't discouraged about that fact because he understood that he had stepped out, that he had believed God even for the impossible. Now, most people that night probably thought nothing of him falling into the pool. They thought this guy's probably been overserved and got a little too close to the edge. But for him, he knew that in Christ, all things were possible. Now, I do know someone personally who actually did pull off the impossible and walk on water. And so I thought I would give you a glimpse at what that moment may have looked like. Now, many of you have heard of the series, The Chosen. I think the new season is just out in theaters as it leads up to Easter. But this is a powerful series that I encourage you all to take in and watch. And you can go to thechosen.tv or the Chosen app to see it and support this creative kind of way to get the gospel out there. But I want you to have a look at what this moment may have looked like when Jesus stepped out, the one I personally know, and walked on the water. Let's look at it. Now, miracles like this one come in a variety of different forms. And as we read in Scripture, especially in the Gospels alone, there's 35 recorded miracles. Now, we know that Jesus touched and ministered to countless people, but there were 35 documented miracles that are included here for us to kind of dig into. So let me break it down a little bit to kind of look at the types of miracles, including a miracle like the one that we just saw. There were, throughout the accounts within the Gospels, we see 17 physical healings, which we're going to get into a little bit more next week. But this is when people had fevers or they were sick, and Jesus miraculously touched them and healed their lives. We see 6 deliverances. These were spiritual healings where he cast the devil out of people, which is incredible to witness and to be a part of. And I'm sure in that day, it stopped people in their tracks. And we're going to touch on that as well. We see 3 raised from the dead in Scripture, like Lazarus. And we see 9 miracles over nature, which we're going to touch on today and look at one of those miracles in particular. But to be clear, we know that there's not just 35 miracles that Jesus performed, because we know he did many more. As a matter of fact, John ends his gospel by saying this. John 20, verses 30 to 31, it says, Jesus performed many other signs and miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, because they're too many to account. But these are written, listen, this is why he did them, this is why we have them and are studying them in a series like this. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. So today, I want to look at one of those miracles when it comes to miracles over nature as we look at the calming of the storm. And it can be found in the book of Luke, but today we're actually going to look at it in the book of Matthew and Mark. Now, many of you know this, but the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are 4 different people's accounts of the same story. So every time you read these different Gospels, you pick up different details because they had a different perspective in that moment. And so today we're going to look at the calming of the storm, and I'm actually going to pull from 2 Gospels because there are some details that Matthew gave that Mark didn't, and there are some that Mark gave that Matthew didn't. So we're going to combine them together for a more full picture of what was happening in this moment. So let's start in the book of Mark, here on the Sea of Galilee, which is actually a large lake. And I've had the opportunity to actually be on a boat on the Sea of Galilee and to experience what it could have been like. As a matter of fact, the guy the captain of the boat that we were on said to us, he said, you know, it's not uncommon in the way the lake is laid out for winds to sweep in very quickly and for boats to be overcome when it comes to taking on water. So it was interesting to hear from someone who is a captain of a boat in this area that this, in fact, is possible. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 38 says, "That day when evening came, he said to the disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side.'" Now, I want you to notice that detail right there. Jesus declares, "We're going over to the other side. It's going to happen. I'm taking you there." And I think we'll see a little later that this is a comment that the disciples, they should have remembered. They should have remembered what he said. So it says, "Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him." And then the storm hit, right? The Bible says a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, I think sometimes in our lives with the storms that we encounter, we can feel the same way. We feel overwhelmed. We feel swamped in the moment. We feel caught up in the storm. But the scripture goes on to say that Jesus, in this moment, in the middle of this storm, was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, teacher." Now, this is another detail I think we need to note, because when we go through something that shakes us, when we feel like this storm that I'm facing right now has the strength and the power to actually take me out, we sometimes wonder, like the disciples did when they said, "Hey, Jesus," they said, "Don't you care if we drown?" Because they felt like they were in imminent danger. You know, when we look at everything that's happening in the world today, sometimes we think something similar. We think, "Hey, God, like, are you seeing this? Are you going to do something about what's happening right now? Don't you care? Don't you care about what's happening in the world today?" Now, let me toggle back to the book of Matthew and see the harmony of these different accounts working together. Same story, but continuing with some different details from a different perspective. Matthew 8, 26 to 27, he replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Now notice, before Jesus ever spoke to the storm, he spoke to the disciples. Very important to note. Then he got up, he rebuked the wind and the waves. And then actually in Mark 4, 39, in the New King James Version, Jesus' words were, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." And it was completely calm. Now, notice their response. These are guys that have spent some time with Jesus. They spent a lot of time living with him, getting to know him. But here in this moment, it's an odd reaction that they have. The Bible says that the men were amazed and they asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now they're realizing maybe we didn't know this guy quite like we thought we did. And that happens sometimes. What kind of person is this? I think a lot of us, before we ever experience a big storm in our lives, we think we know who Jesus is in our lives. We framed him up in a certain way. But I believe it's during the storms that come in our life that we learn a different part of who God is, a very powerful part of who God is, that I think all of us need to know. So our friends from The Chosen, they kind of combine the details from the miracle of Jesus walking on the water and the story of the calming of the sea to convey the same truth, to demonstrate Jesus' authority, his complete authority over the elements. And you know what? I think there's times in our lives where we need to speak the same power-fueled words of Jesus in the midst of our storms. Sometimes when you feel like the wheels are coming off the bus and our mind is racing out of control and we feel that fear and those anxious thoughts, we need to take that same authority and speak to those things in our life and just say, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still in Jesus' name." Because if we don't take that authority, if we don't allow God in his peace to operate and move within our lives, we can get swept away with it all. Now, you may not have seen it, but there's actually three storms that are present in this story. The first one, obviously, is the physical storm, right? In the case of the disciples, it was thunder, it was lightning, it was wind, it was rain. It was very real, very tangible, something that you couldn't just will away or deny that it was happening. It was happening all around them. Now, for us, today, in this world that we're living in, we wouldn't have always been able to say this, at least in our generation, but for us, it could be a worldwide pandemic. Or depending on where you call home, it could be a war, could be an incredible recession. These are very real storms that we need God's wisdom and his strength to navigate through. But physical storms can kind of change and move into something else that we need to be on guard against. And that's the second storm that is present in this story, which is an emotional storm. Sometimes the physical storms we experience can lead to excessive worry. Like, whoa, what's going on with the world? Like, suddenly it grips you deep in your heart. You feel it within you. And it can affect the way that you live. In other words, what's happening on the outside triggers something that's happening. It stirs it up on the inside. And our emotions engage. Now, in the disciples, the wind and waves were creating a very real fear and anxiety because some of them thought, it's over. We're going to the bottom of this lake. Even though Jesus had already said to them, we're going to the other side. If they have trusted his words, they would have known that they were going to get through this moment. But all as they could see was the wind and the waves, and the fear of drowning got stronger and stronger and stronger. The conditions that they were in became bigger in their minds than the words that Jesus spoke. See, all of us need to know today, wherever you are, wherever you're joining us, whether you're here in the house or whether you're joining us online, you need to know, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear in the news or what's happening around you, it's going to be okay. We're going to get to the other side. And whatever we face, he will walk us through it. Now, the third kind of storm that we see in this story is a spiritual storm. Now, this is the real danger, because that physical storm can lead to an emotional storm, which eventually leads to a spiritual storm. Remember, in the midst of the physical storm, their emotions were stirred to a place where deep fear had set into their hearts. And it was causing them to act in a different way. As a matter of fact, they turned on Jesus in this moment, and they just said, hey, don't you care? Don't you care what we're going through right now? Now, that's bad theology, and it's not even true. But it's the spiritual storm that was happening within their lives. Then they even went on to say, who is this anyways? Like, this is someone who they'd spent so much time with, but because of what they were experiencing, what they were seeing, thinking this can't be happening, then suddenly everything within them begins to shake. Whether that's seeing him on the wind and waves himself, or even in the moment when he takes that authority and speaks, peace be still, they're like, who is this person? We thought we knew Jesus, but clearly we didn't. Not like we thought we did. I think sometimes the storms in our life, and even the storms that we've experienced in our world, they reveal to us our relationship with God, the depth of it, or how we need to go even deeper, especially during those difficult times. So listen, what if the miracle wasn't the storm Jesus calmed on the outside, but the storm he calmed on the inside? It wasn't just about the elements that were around them. It was about what was going on inside of their hearts. Remember what he said, right? In Mark 4:39, peace, be still. You know, even when Peter stepped out of the boat, as long as he remained focused on Jesus, he could stand secure in the middle of this storm. The minute he took his eyes off of Jesus and started to look at the conditions, started to look at the wind and the waves, that's when he began to sink. Every storm we will ever face, I believe, are opportunities for us to grow emotionally and spiritually. Now, let me drop an anchor here that will hold you in place during difficult times. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." So why does our soul need anchoring? Well, it's because it can drift. When the pressures of the world around us push against it, it can shift. And we may not be able to stop or control the things that are happening in the world today, but we can trust the one who can anchor our soul and our spirit in the midst of those storms. In the midst of all the storms we face, I want to encourage all of you to continue to believe God for a miracle, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So, how can we do this? How can we anchor our soul and our spirit? Well, I think the first thing that we need to do is we're anchored in our life when we cultivate God's presence. And I think this is something that we need to practice on a daily basis. That's why worship is so significant in our spiritual growth. That no matter what we see, no matter what we hear, we know in our hearts all is well. Because I'm practicing the presence of God daily. Psalm 91, so powerful. Verses 1 to 2 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High," so whoever practices his presence, "will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." You know, Chris Hodges once said, "Peace isn't the absence of the storm. Peace is the presence of God." We need to practice the presence of God in our lives. You know what? We're also anchored when we remember God's promises in our life. So the word of God, it's an anchor in and of itself. What did Jesus say? "Whoever builds their house on the rock." In other words, when you do what I say, you will be able to stand and walk through the storm. Psalm 119, 81 says, "My soul faints." You know, ever have those moments, right? Where you just feel like, "Lord, I'm losing it right now. My soul faints with longing for your salvation. But I have anchored myself," or "I have put my hope in your word." Anchor yourself to the promises of God. And you won't know them unless you read them, unless you study them. That's why we spend so much time dedicated to the study of his word. And you know what? We don't need to stick our heads in the sand like an ostrich. We do need to understand that things are happening in the world that we live in. So stay informed, but not in an unbalanced way. Don't allow your circumstances, the things that are going on all around us, to speak louder than his promises in your life. Recently, a couple of weeks ago, I was looking on YouTube for some videos about little portable power stations, so that if the power goes out, you can still power your computer and your devices. And so I kind of started a search and was looking for these, you know, reviews to compare the ones that I was considering. And before I realized it, suddenly there was just a whole lot of suggestions coming up for me to kind of fall down the rabbit hole of like doomsday preppers and billionaire bunkers, right? Building like fire moats to protect them from the clickers and the zombies that are gonna come for them when everything hits the fan. That's how quickly it happens. You can start innocently going down one path and then suddenly the fear machine, it just reaches out for you because one thing can lead to another. And suddenly your mind is racing. So we need to be informed. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but be careful. Be balanced in that. Don't fall into the fear side of things, but anchor yourself to his promises. Then finally, we're anchored, I think, truly when we understand God's process. I think if the disciples would have known what God was going to teach them through the storm, then perhaps maybe they would have been a little bit more cooperative with the process instead of kind of resisting it. Maybe the disciples would have remembered that actually he did say, we're going to the other side. He gave us his word. His word said that I'm taking you over to the other side. Maybe they wouldn't have been as triggered by the wind and the waves and let fear take over and control them. That's why, again, before Jesus ever spoke to the storm, he spoke to the disciples first. I think that's what he's doing right now in our lives. Before he speaks, peace be still in the world that's around us, he wants to speak, peace be still to you so that you have that deep in your heart. Romans chapter 5, verses 2 to 4 says it like this, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, in the storms that we encounter. Now, I'm not saying that God has designed suffering or storms to bring you closer to him, but I will say this. He will teach you, if you will allow him, as you walk through those storms, he will give you his peace so that you can make it through to the other side. Why is that? Scripture says, because we know that suffering or storms produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. At the end of the day, whatever we're facing today and whatever we'll face tomorrow, anchor yourself to the fact that you know deep in your heart that you will be better on the other side of this than you are today. Knowing that when he speaks, peace be still, that he will most assuredly take you through to the other side of whatever it is you're facing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your miracle-working power at work within our lives. We pray that no matter what we face, from a physical storm to an emotional storm to a spiritual storm, that you can anchor our soul and spirit, that we can come close to you, that we can practice your presence, that we can spend time in the promises of your word, and that we can embrace the process that you're taking us through, that as we're developing as disciples, that our faith is becoming stronger and stronger. I pray today that we would understand that no matter what we're facing, that we would always understand that through you, all things are possible. Lord, work in our lives today. We believe you for your miracle working power, especially in this season as we move closer to Easter and celebrating your resurrection. I pray that resurrection life would be evident and at work within each one of us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary.